on the phone line this morning to take a look at some of these numbers, discuss what's been happening in the marketplace is Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good Tuesday morning to you, Wayne.
Why, good morning, Todd.
Tell me a little bit about the marketplace. In particular, I think we should maybe start with the wheat futures this morning. It appears that it was a frost over the weekend that ignited the wheat market yesterday, but things seem to have subsided just a bit. That, of course, was in South America.
Yeah, you know, Parana, Rio Grande do Sul got some pretty hard freezes over Friday night and Saturday morning again there. And there was talks that there was 20 to 50% damage yesterday. And as they sort of reassessed a few things today, why it doesn't seem that the damage is quite as bad as what they were thinking yesterday, that sort of eased off. And, of course, then, you know, we're seeing and remembering that the rest of the world is sort of awash in wheat as we speak. So, but that was the original indication. There was even talks that they might have to import some wheat, hard-red wheat, for their milling purposes because of what happened. I think that that sort of subsided today as we talk about it a little more.
And then that set aside, the soybean market began to catch just a bit. It rallied yesterday, and surprisingly enough, it's continued to rally through this Tuesday. What's happening there?
Well, of course, the crop ratings dropped 2% in the beans yesterday afternoon. That held us up through the night. We sold off here this morning. Basically, when we went into break, we were up just a little bit, but not much. And we seemed to catch a fire. As you're reading the prices there, Todd, I believe we had bean meal up $5. I think that's leading the way here. The crush report comes out at 11 o'clock Illinois time today. And they're looking for a record record over the last 7 years on the August crush, up around 135 million for the month of August. So I think that that and the inability to buy beans, right, cash beans right now, we got a good lineup of ships coming into the Gulf, and they're finding a little problem buying some cash beans. A lot of the beans aren't ready as early here. If you look at the crop progress, the harvest is lagging behind in all the states, and you know, especially those east of the Mississippi, the production levels haven't been quite as good as a lot of them were hoping for. As we get west, why we're seeing some better yields in Illinois. We're seeing, you know, some 65, 70 bushel beans down in the Paris area. And we heard some corn yields in Bureau County up around the 254 mark. So, you know, there are some better yields popping up now, but harvest is lagging behind.
You mentioned ships lining up for the export market for soybeans. I take it that the exports have finally begun to pick up, at least in the inspection side of the beans. I saw some numbers for that.
Yeah, they have, Todd, and we're seeing quite a few boats that will be bound for China are coming in or scheduled to come in the next week, and that's why the barges are the price is going up a little bit on what they're bidding on these barges to go down to the Gulf here right now. So they are looking for beans pretty aggressively in the country.
Yeah, I saw that export inspections, I think, at 58,935 metric tons. And over the first 2 weeks, 17.6% ahead of last year. So maybe we'll catch up with the soybeans at some point. What other things should we go through? I think maybe we might delve just a little deeper into what the USDA numbers look like yesterday from the crop progress report. Corn maturity is running behind in Iowa. I suppose that might be important over the long run. I think it's actually, it's 4 days ahead in Iowa. That might be important as well in the long run because that corn will be coming into the marketplace much more quickly. And it's also ahead in the state of Illinois. I think yesterday we were set at 64% maturity, or 61% maturity, nearly twice as far along this time this year as we were last year. So there should be a lot of pressure on the corn market, though it's been holding up pretty strong over the last couple of days.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a couple things going on with that. Number one, the early maturity, a lot of people felt, number one, they possibly run out of nitrogen, died, and number two, we run out of moisture because it got so hot in August with no rain, and it died rather than mature as normally would. And that, of course, can cause lower test weight and smaller kernel size. So that's one of the things that's helping hold the market up, even though it is maturing fast that way. And I think depending on where you're at and how stressed the crop was is telling us how that's going to be. So, and I think that along the same respect, the idea is farmers weren't moving corn much below $4, and that's why we're trying to creep back to that towards that $4 mark here quite aggressively, I think, in the corn. And that's a lot of people thinking. I think the other thing we want to talk about is the FSA dump of figures come tomorrow, and that's going to tell us about what the program numbers are that they have figured in, and that generally gives us a little pop in the corn market, maybe the bean market, if the acres show that we would have less harvested acres than what the government's predicting. And that's one of the things we've talked about a lot in the past.
Yeah, so we have the FSA tomorrow on Thursday, interest rates, and it appears that the chatter is beginning to turn towards no interest rate hike.
I would think that would be the logical thing at this point in time. You know, with all of the things that are happening in the world, especially the Brazilian currency crisis, it's really come to the forefront here this week. You know, they're having some real economic problems down there, and everything else going on. I'm going to say that there's going to be over a 50% chance that they do not raise the rates here this time. But I could be wrong. I mean, sometimes they surprise us, but I think it's sort of going away in that respect.
Given that, do we see two potentially fundamentally friendly things for the marketplace, the FSA dump of acreage numbers and, of course, a 0% interest rate increase?
I think that, that you know, that's the little bit of favor coming in here. I think, you know, we're going to continue to watch the yields as they come from the field. We do know that if you live over in my state here in Indiana, why we're going to hear a lot of bad yields. But we were only rated, you know, there was 47% that wasn't rated good. I mean, it was rated, so it was going to be pretty poor yields. Shouldn't be surprising to us.
The other thing I noted from the USDA numbers yesterday in the crop progress report is while maturity is ahead for corn, farmers have neglected to harvest. I take it that's simply because they're just waiting for it to dry down in the field, and they don't have any incentive in the basis levels, actually, to move corn early to the elevators.
That you'd be right on both accounts there, Todd, and I think that it is the idea, and they're waiting for it to dry down a little bit. Let's face it, when you got a three in front of the corn that you're harvesting, there's not a lot of extra money for drying costs.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks. We'll talk with you again this afternoon, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.